every morning I wake up and grab my phone and scroll. And after about 10, 15 minutes or so, I put my phone down, throw my feet out of the bed, slowly crawl up and out of bed, downstairs, grab my coffee, come back up, sit at my laptop like a zombie until the caffeine hits, doing mindless things like emails. And then once the caffeine hits, I usually get up, go move my body, shower, and get ready for the day. That is my morning routine. Is it pretty? No. Is it influencer worthy? Certainly not. But is it something that I do pretty much every workday? You damn right. And that is the power of a routine. It is something that you don't have to think about or you build into your everyday activity, which makes things a lot easier. When it comes to money and our personal finances, having a personal finance routine is actually incredibly helpful. I'm going to talk you through some examples of personal finance routines and even spill the tea on what mine looks like. My name is Lindsay. I'm a certified financial therapist, licensed social worker, and I help people at the intersection of money and mental health, aka financial wellness. I do this through things like this, my podcast, YouTube channel, blog, and I also do it at a different level by coming into your workplace or conference and helping you and your colleagues, peers, or teammates understand how money and mental health intersect. And if you are in charge of people, operations, HR, or culture, and you want to know exactly how to help your team with financial wellness, I have a brand new shiny quiz just for you that you can take to learn more about which topic your team needs to improve their financial wellness. I will link it in the show notes. Again, that's a quiz, which financial wellness topic fits best for your team, developed by me to help you get some targeted support and resources related to financial wellness. Let's be honest, we're all a little bit nosy and would love to know more about what's happening behind the scenes of other people's money and specifically how they are doing the financial stuff. When it comes to money and routines, what we want to start do is some classic Pavlovian techniques where we are doing some conditioning to make money something that if it isn't like all sunshine and rainbows, at least it doesn't suck miserably. So making sure that you're really setting the stage for your money routine to be as supportive and safe as possible. And depending on when you are doing your money routine, that you are cozy underneath a blanket with a hot mug of tea, it might mean going outside, having some sparkling water and having your laptop up. If you're the type of person who needs some like external noise to keep you focused, finding a fun hotel lobby or cafe. Asterisk there, be really cautious of using shared Wi-Fi when you're logging into your banking apps. I actually don't recommend it, but if you want to do general planning where you're not logging into your credit cards, bank accounts, things like that, I'm all for it. So setting the stage with like food, water, snacks, drinks that are supportive, making sure you're physically comfortable. There's nothing worse than like going to an adorable cafe and being on like hard bench with no back support. Tell me you're almost 40 without telling me you're almost 40. And then being really uncomfortable the entire time. You want to be physically, mentally, spiritually as comfortable as possible. That also might mean going for a run or a walk or making sure that you took an extra long shower that morning. Do whatever you need to do to create a space that feels like it can be a part of your routine. Then you have that external safety. So when we get into the nitty-gritty of what you're actually doing during that routine, you feel really good. My personal finance routine is kind of boring because it's pretty damn hands-off. It was not always this way, but now that I've been doing what I've been doing for so long, it's honestly on the back burner. And that can feel like a freaking pipe dream to so many of us who are in a place where money is on our mind constantly. We wake up thinking about it. We go to bed thinking about it. We're stressed. We're worried. And it could be both about being on one end of the income spectrum where you're stressed about, can I pay that bill? Did I pay that bill? And it can also happen at the other end of the income spectrum where you're stressed about, do I have enough? Did I give enough? Did I give my kids enough opportunities? There can be money stressors on all ends of the income and net worth level. But one thing that I know for me personally and for a lot of my clients is the more that we can create routines and automations, honestly, the less we have to think about money on a day-to-day basis, quite frankly, the better. We're going to start with big and then go smaller as we go along. Right now, my personal finance routine is that once a year, my partner and I do a big old deep dive. We take a look at how the last year's income and expenses went, whether or not we liked the goals that we were saving toward, and what types of tedious things we have to do again, such as making sure that our homeowner's insurance is up to date and making sure that we're enrolled in the right benefits, things like that. So once a year, we're doing a big old plan. In that plan, we are doing a retrospective. People call it a postmortem, but I don't really love that term. But we're looking at what came in last year, what went out last year, and what are the things that we need to tweak? Do we need more fun money? Do we want to take more trips? Do we need to be saving up more for something like paying off a car, or maybe be putting more money away into our retirement accounts? What are the things that we need to change? What are the things that we liked? And what are the things we need more of or less of? The other thing that we're doing annually is making sure, like I mentioned, all of those tedious things are taken care of. We have health insurance, we have car insurance, we have homeowners insurance, we have life insurance, and all of those things are still working for us and they are the right price. And if they are not the right price, we are doing the things that we need to do to negotiate it down to make sure that we are paying an amount that feels doable for us. The other thing that we don't do yearly because we don't have children, but if we did have children, we might change this a little bit, is that we are looking at our will and trust. Because we are dinks, or rather dinkwads, the W-A-D, the with the dog part, because we are dinkwads, our will and trust doesn't need to be as updated as frequently as people who have children or are currently in the process of bringing additional children into their lives. Because when you have a will and a trust, you are naming where do your different assets go. Because we have basically each other, it is a more streamlined process for us. We have redone our will twice. I know some of you might be thinking like, oh, shouldn't you be doing it more than that? We did it before we were married and then after we were married. And the reason we did it before we were married is that we owned a home together and wanted to make sure that in the event of death or separation, that we knew how we were going to divide up owning that house together. And then we did it after we were married because things had to change. But at any rate, make sure you have a will and trust and make sure that you are reviewing those things on an annual routine. So that's the yearly routine, is doing things like annual goal setting, doing all the nitty gritty of those big policies and making sure that they're in place. But you might add additional things to it. You might also do some additional tax planning to adjust up or down the different things that you need to be withholding. You might want to look into whether or not you want to pay more or less on your student loans or credit cards, things like that. That might be some additional planning that you do. So tax planning, debt repayment planning, those might be things that you want to include in your annual plan. The other thing you might want to include in your annual plan is how you are caring for others in your world, whether that is creating a shit happens to my friends and family fund that you want to have available to give as needed in the event that loved ones need some additional cash. You have a savings account specifically earmarked for it. You might be caring for aging parents or a disabled adult in your life, and you also might want to be thinking about how you're dialing up that type of financial contribution and also making sure your insurance policies cover those things as well. So those are things that you might add into your annual money routine. Moving into a quarterly routine, what do you need to do about four times a year? For me, this is more like 2 to 3 times a year, but for you, this might be quarterly. I'm just doing a little check-in, making sure that everything is going in and going out in the way that I wanted. For me, I'm big into travel hacking. So about twice a year, I make sure that the cards that I'm paying annual fees on are still worth carrying. And if they're not, I'm spending a few extra moments downgrading and doing a product change to a credit card that doesn't have an annual fee if I'm no longer getting the benefits of that specific card. I'm also usually scheming to see if there are new cards that I'm now eligible for that I can meet the minimum spend on. I have a YouTube video all about travel hacking. It's actually a 2-parter, and I might do a podcast episode on travel hacking in the future if that's of interest. But if that's not you, no sweat. When it comes to credit cards, though, I do think you need to be checking your credit score and most likely your credit report a couple of times a year. The difference between a credit score and a credit report is that a credit score is the 3-digit number that lenders use to see how safe of a borrower you are, whereas the credit report goes deeper and it shows every single account that you have taken out a loan with. Credit cards, personal loans, anything like that where you have borrowed money, your credit report will show it. The reason that you need to check it a couple of times a year is to make sure that nobody has stolen your identity and that everything on that credit report is correct. Let's say you had a bill that was getting close to being in collections and you worked out some sort of payment plan so you wouldn't get that ding on your credit report and it's not showing up in your credit report. That's when you have the opportunity to reach out to that lender and have them remedy that for you. So that's why checking your credit report is super important a couple of times a year. Something that I do once a year that other people may do quarterly is looking at how my money in my retirement accounts and in my brokerage accounts is invested. I like to make sure that the slice of pie that I want being towards safer investments like bonds is where I want it to be, and the other slice of pie that is a bit riskier, which is your traditional stock investment, is actually the slice that I want it to be. As the year goes on and different things create different returns, those pie slices can grow and shrink, and we want to make sure that they are growing or shrinking in the way that works best for us. I like investments and thinking about retirement. I do not love it. For me, I am a set it and forget it girly, and I could not recommend more Amanda Holden, aka the Dumpster Doggies, Invested Development Course. That takes you through everything you need to know about the history of investing, all the way to what an investment is, how risky or not risky you want to be, in very plain terms, and she has the credentials to back it up. If you want to learn more about Invested Development, I will link it in the show notes. So that's quarterly. Quarterly, I'm just making sure everything is working in the way that I want it to be doing. That's my money routine. Monthly? Monthly, my money routine looks like this. I open up my checking account and I go, does that look right? It does. Terrific. And monthly, I'm also making sure that all of my credit cards that are on auto pay are actually still on auto pay. At this stage in my life and my relationship with money, for me, making sure everything that I have set up to be working is still working is the most important thing. My money routine may be different than yours. I prefer to be a bit more hands-off. If you take my quiz on which financial archetype you are, I am blissfully indifferent. That is the person who doesn't really like looking at money or thinking about it or talking about it, which is why I probably do what I do. Because if I was left to my own devices, this is how I would manage my money, which is not great. So instead, what I have done, the money routine that works best for me, is making things as automatic as possible. So that's what I'm doing monthly. I'm making sure that the bills that I have on auto pay are actually being paid. The savings goals that I have are actually being funded. That is what I'm doing. I'm just making sure my little money machine is moving in the way that I want it to be moving. Weekly, daily, I don't really have a money routine practice. That may sound cuckoo bananas to you. That's totally fine. Rewinding back to before I had an automatic process, I can tell you a little bit more about what it looked like. Before I had a process that worked, which, giant old asterisk here, the reason an automated money plan works for me is because I have enough money coming in, okay? If you do not have enough money coming in to support your expenses, it's almost impossible to have an automated money routine. So that's what I first need you to focus on, is making sure that you're bringing in enough income to cover all of your expenses. If you are not, you need to dial down the amount of money that's going out, dial up the amount of money that's coming in, ideally both. So before I had enough money coming in to cover all of my expenses regularly, and I didn't really have to think about it, what I was often doing was looking at my expenses, maybe not necessarily daily, sometimes my anxiety was so high that I was looking at it every day, but usually it was like weekly or twice a week. And what I would do is say, when does my paycheck come in? What bills do I have due that I can use this money from this paycheck for so that I can cover all of those bills? Making sure that I was funding all of those bills. The other thing that I was doing was looking at, what are my other expenses coming up that are not on some sort of bill schedule? Things like putting gas in my car, buying groceries, buying toiletries and things like that. Those are not on a regular schedule. So I'd look at my money that's coming in and I would see of the money that is left that is not going to those automatic bills, where do I need to allocate those dollars so that I can have food, I can have face wash, deodorant, gas money, all of that stuff. How can I make sure that all of those different needs are being funded? And that might look like double checking the groceries that were on sale or stocking up on body wash when it was like a 2-for-1, right? It might be doing things a little bit scrappier like that. When I was in that, really making sure that every dollar coming in had a job to do, it was mostly about making sure that all of my expenses were covered. I love, love, love the idea of treating our different financial savings goals like bills. That's what I have now. When I say my bills are on auto pay, I also mean that my savings is on auto as well. So when my paycheck comes, what automatically happens is that a portion of that money that's coming in is automatically being funneled into different savings accounts. Different savings accounts that I have had over the years include an emergency fund. Before my emergency fund was fully funded, money was going from my checking into my savings every single month to help fund that. Other types of savings accounts include traveling, gifts, saving up for different household things such as a new couch, a new TV, a new kitchen, different types of things like that. Down payment for a car, down payment for a house. Those are all different things that I've saved for over the years using an automatic kind of bill pay system where I'm automatically turning on some money moving from my checking into my savings account to fund the different goals that I want to achieve. The other thing that is automatic is investing in my retirement. Every single month, I've got some money moving from my checking account because I'm self-employed straight into my retirement plan. If you are traditionally employed and you have something like a 401k or a 403b, make sure that your money is moving from your paycheck automatically into that so you can invest in your retirement without thinking. The key here, when you are moving money from a paycheck into a retirement account, is make sure that it's not just going into this random retirement account and sitting in cash. You actually want it to be invested, which again is why I recommend Amanda Holden's Invested Development course to walk you through exactly what that means. When you are creating a money routine, we also want to be infusing some financial self-care practices. Financial self-care is when you are nurturing your financial wellness so that you can tend to other areas of your life. This might look like going for a walk while you're listening to a personal finance podcast. It might look like checking out a book from the library. I'm currently finishing Beyond Getting by Holly Trantham at the Financial Diet. I'm not sponsored by them, but I was quoted in the book a few times, so definitely check it out. It might be writing a deliciously beautiful, kind note to yourself about where you want to be financially in 3 months or 6 months, putting it in an envelope and opening it up at one of your money routine nights. These are all things that we can do. And if you need more ideas, I have 37 different ideas of ways that you can practice financial self-care. There is no one size fits all, but we want to be nice to ourselves while we're taking care of our money. Other types of things that you can add to your money routine are things like affirmations. Writing on the top of your notebook or your journal, I am capable of managing my money, or I am building wealth every day. Those types of things sound really cheesy, but it can be really affirming. The other thing that you can build into your money routines is celebrating your wins. Every time you automatically are moving $20 from checking into savings, give yourself a pat on the back, turn on a notification so you can see it happen on your phone and you can cheer yourself on. Money routines aren't just about the tediousness of day-to-day. It's also about acknowledging those small adjustments that can make big impacts over the long run and getting into the habit. If you are starting out with a daily money routine or a weekly money routine or a monthly money routine and you miss one, it's not the end of the world. Instead of allowing yourself to sit in the spiral of, oh my gosh, I can't believe I missed another money routine day or date or whatever you want to call it, I want you to remind yourself that you have the capacity to try again. The purpose of having a money routine is not for it to be like super robotic, but it's allowed to be malleable. The spending plan that you have now is going to change over time, depending on what's coming in, what's going out, what your different goals are. That's how it's supposed to be. Money is not supposed to be rigid. It's supposed to be fluid, and it is supposed to flow into the different goals that you have set for yourself. So those are some examples of different ways that you can set up a money routine to work for you. I hope that helps you kind of peek behind the curtain and see a little bit about how I manage my money. I would love to hear from you how you manage your money and what works for you. With that, I'll see you next time. Your support of this podcast means the absolute world. If you love listening, I would love if you could help me out by quickly rating and reviewing this podcast on the podcast player you're using right now. This quick but meaningful action helps to support the show and it helps others find it too. I absolutely love connecting with my listeners. So if something resonated from today's episode, take a screenshot of the episode, share it out on your stories, and be sure to tag me on Instagram at mindmoneybalance. This podcast simply wouldn't be possible without the help of others. Thank you to RJ Basillo for masterfully editing this podcast, to Liberty Sales, who creatively and brilliantly helps market the show to help those who need it find it by leveraging her public health communication skills. And thank you to Leslie Tagorda and Jeffrey Campanero of Star Powered, who've infused their creative genius into the cover and episode art with the unique magic of the Astro Brand astrology-based branding process. Disclaimer. Everything shared on this podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Neither the host nor the guests are providing legal, financial, accounting, mental health, investing, medical, or any other professional advice. If you are seeking professional help, please find it. See you next time.